The Packers and quarterback Aaron Rodgers directed a two-minute drill for the ages, coming from behind to defeat the Miami Dolphins 27-24 on the road. Consider the play of the game, the fake spike catching the Dolphins' defense off guard. We'll break it all down here at Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We are recapping a Packers come-from-behind victory over the Miami Dolphins in Miami on Sunday. And how about that? You know, what I think about this game is it seemed as if Packer Nation had just penciled this in as a win coming into the game. They saw that this Joe Philbin coach team had not made the playoffs since he's been there. And before that as well. You know, how long is it since the Dolphins have been a playoff team? So fans saw that the Dolphins, you know, haven't made the playoffs in X number of years. And I think people treat them like a 4-12 team, you know, one of the NFL's worst, just because recent history hasn't gone in the Dolphins' favor. Well, they're not a 4-12 team. I mean, the past 2 years, this is an 800. Yeah, pardon me, a 500 team. You know, the type of team that goes 8-8 every season and improving. And I think they didn't get the due respect they deserved. You know, going to a 500 team on the road, any 500 team in the NFL, that's not easy to come away with a victory. And the Packers were able to do it. Took till the last minute of the ball game. Took to the last 3 seconds of the ball game, but the Packers directing a come-from-behind victory, basically getting the ball back with just over 2 minutes left. You know, this one's going to go down in the record books, I think, for quarterback Aaron Rodgers for sure. You know, it had been kind of this criticism of Rodgers for so long that he couldn't direct these come-from-behind victories, especially in the fourth quarter, you know, coming into this season. Yeah, there had been a few, but, you know, over the course of, you know, his 10th season in the NFL, there had been, you know, fewer than fans would hope, I guess you would say. But this season alone, combine that with the 21-3 comeback victory against the New York Jets, and now the fourth quarter 4-point deficit the Packers had to overcome on Sunday. Yeah, this one's going to go down in the annals for quarterback Aaron Rodgers. You know, I was kind of surprised, to tell you the truth. When the Dolphins got the ball back, you know, I wasn't sure with the Packers. Let's go back to the fourth quarter here, mid-fourth quarter. When the Packers had the ball with, 9 minutes remaining, their second-to-last drive of the game, and they end up, you know, getting all the way down to the 12-yard line, I thought maybe the Packers would go for it there. And just simply try to tie the ball game 24-24. I wasn't sure they would kick the field goal. I wasn't sure that was the right choice because I was like, well, you know, you got to give the ball back to Miami anyway. You know, why not just go for the touchdown? And even if you don't make it, at least they get the ball back in poor field position. Because you got to give it back to them anyway. Well, Packers go for the field goal, which, you know, I mean, I think, you know, in hindsight, you know, Mike McCarthy made the right choice. I'm not sure. Usually, I'm a very conservative type of person when it comes to football. I always criticize chasing points early, like the Dolphins did early on in the game, when they went for it on fourth down in the first quarter there, wasn't it? Anyway, here, the Packers go for the field goal and they give the Dolphins back the possession of the football with about 4 minutes or so remaining. I couldn't tell you how happy I was to see the Dolphins pass the football with 4 minutes left and basically come away with several, or well, maybe not several, but a couple incompletions to stop the clock. It happened the very first play. You'll remember Ryan Tannehill got a pass batted down by Clay Matthews. Might have been the only positive contribution that Clay Matthews made all game, but that stops the clock the first play. They do end up getting two first downs, but then go and on second and nine, you know, throw the football again. It's incomplete, so there's about just over 3 minutes left. I think it was 3:05. The clock stops, and then they run for it on third and nine. And yeah, the clock started then, but, you know, converting a third and nine with a running play, you know, that's just, you know, thanks, Dolphins. You know, had they more wisely, you know, or tried to run out the clock, you know, there's a possibility they may have, you know, not given the Packers a whole lot of time to work with. You know, they didn't give them much to work with 2 minutes as it was. But I was, you know, I was thinking there could be barely any time left on the clock had they just run the football on, like, first and second downs. I thought that was a poor choice by Miami right there. But the Packers get it back down, you know, with 2 minutes to go. And, you know, they spend so much time trying to establish the run all game long, which basically didn't work. You know, once again, Eddie Lacy goes back to having, what, 40-some yards on the game? Not really a factor. And so on the first play, there's on the clock, what, 2:04. So you know you're going to get off one play before the two-minute warning. You know, what a play to run a running play. If you were going to run the ball once, that was the play to do it, and the Packers do. You know, James Starks runs for over 10 yards and gets a first down, and then's the two-minute warning. You know, great play, I thought. You know, I was thinking to myself, well, you just try to get as many yards as you can, so you're going to pass it down the field. But yeah, they run a little draw play to James Starks, gains 12 yards. Fantastic. You know, they get the two-minute warning, and then they start passing from there on out. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, it wasn't the greatest game when you take into account the whole game from beginning to end, first quarter to fourth quarter. You know, Aaron Rodgers has, what did he average per pass? I'm looking it up here. Averaged per throw, the Packers, 5.5 yards per pass play. That is nothing special. That's actually, usually that could end up with a losing effort, you know, a lot of times. 5.5 yards per pass attempt. And yeah, that's taking into account sacks and things like that. And we'll get to that in a moment because that was an issue. But Aaron Rodgers, you know, overcoming three sacks, overcoming some of the most pressure any team has brought against the Packers before, at least this season. You know, most teams choose not to blitz the Packers. They know that Aaron Rodgers is going to make them pay if they blitz. It didn't stop the Vikings. That was the last game. The Dolphins, and they knew it. You know, they weren't deterred. The Dolphins blitzed Rodgers on most critical, you know, at least on the plays you knew were going to be pass plays, the third and longs, things like that. And they hit Aaron Rodgers, batted him around, knocked him down a bunch. But that last drive of the game, you know, they run the running play the first play, and then they get to fourth down. Fourth and 10, you know, fourth and long, you know, all the pressure is on them with just over a minute remaining. And Aaron Rodgers escapes the pocket and ends up finding Jordy Nelson for, again, another gain of over 10 yards and gets the first down and keeps the chains moving. I mean, that was just clutch right there. The fourth down conversion. But which, by the way, Jordy Nelson, kudos to him for having a great game. After that, you know, I should mention the play before that, you know, before the fourth down, third and nine, Aaron Rodgers is sacked, fumbles the football, and perhaps the underrated play of the game, goes to offensive lineman T.J. Lang recovering the fumble alertly. It really saves the game for the Packers. That right there is deserving of special mention, the fumble recovery by T.J. Lang. And by the way, T.J. Lang just put out on social media, or I just put out on social media, that T.J. Lang graded out as the highest offensive player in the win over the Dolphins, according to ProFootballFocus.com, had the highest grade of any Packers offensive player. So, very good game from T.J. Lang. Of course, that, you know, takes into account not just the fumble recovery, but that, of course, I'm sure got him a few points right there. So, very good job, T.J. Lang, by turning things around, too. I'd say that T.J. Lang really hasn't had that good a performance as of late. You know, when you go to the game against the loss against the Detroit Lions, on top of that, the game against the Chicago Bears, T.J. Lang didn't play very well either. Things have turned around for T.J. Lang, and kudos to him. The whole Packers interior offensive line really had a good game. So we go over the fumble recovery. We go over the fourth down conversion. And so the Packers are facing second and six at the 16-yard line with the clock is ticking. You know, what they get the football with, you know, it's in the teens. I can't remember exactly what it was, you know, somewhere around 18 seconds or so. And you know, the clock's ticking. And, you know, it's second and six. And you can consider, you know, spiking the football just to stop the clock, you know, and it would still be third down for you. But instead, and of course, this has made all the highlight shows by now, you know, the play of the game, Aaron Rodgers and the fake spike, you know, basically fools the entire defense, the entire stadium can see Aaron Rodgers. He's motioning with his hand like the spike move. And in the home of Dan Marino, who popularized the fake spike in some point in the mid-90s. It was a nationally televised game, wasn't it? It you know, ends up being really memorable because Dan Marino was motioning to spike too. And I think that may have been the first time in pro football history somebody has faked a spike and ends up throwing, you know, did they throw a touchdown on the play? Well, the Packers don't get a touchdown, but doing it in the home of Dan Marino, who popularized the fake spike, Aaron Rodgers motions for the fake spike, ends up finding Davante Adams with Cortland Finnegan in off coverage. He's probably more than 10 yards off the football, or 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, I should say. So he fires it over to Davante Adams, gains 12 yards, goes out of bounds, and you know, for Davante Adams to be on the same page as Aaron Rodgers, just kudos to him as well. This was the first game this season that Aaron Rodgers really put all his trust into Davante Adams, and nowhere was it more apparent than on that play. You know, what it sounds like is, you know, even the wide receivers weren't exactly ready for it the moment it happened. I think Davante Adams, while he was at least, you know, alert and watching at the snap of the football, he wasn't like running a route or anything. He was just getting ready for the ball to be tossed to him. He's ready. He catches it. Like I said, turns 12 yards up the field, gets the Packers to within the 4-yard line, and steps out of bounds to stop the clock with 6 seconds left. 6 seconds left gives you the opportunity for basically two shots at the end zone. You know, it's, you got to do certain things. You obviously can't run the ball anymore. You don't have any timeouts. Anything you do has to be quick. And of course, you got to make sure it doesn't get intercepted, but it gives you two plays. Well, as you know by now, the Packers only needed one. And Aaron Rodgers finds Andrew Corliss, tight end Andrew Corliss, the longtime veteran, maybe not longtime, 5-year veteran, but the guy who is basically, you know, bid his time on injured reserve over the years, came back from that horrific knee injury, had always kind of been the number two tight end behind JerMichael Finley. And this year, you know, Andrew Corliss kind of stepping up and becoming the number one tight end this year. You know, he received a good challenge from Richard Rodgers, the rookie, but, you know, Rodgers just isn't there and ready yet fully. Obviously, he's playing, but, you know, it's Andrew Corliss who is the hero of the game after catching the kind of a back shoulder throw a little bit on the right sideline of the end zone for the touchdown. It, you know, field goal doesn't help. Packers are down by 4 points, so they got to go for it. And Rodgers fires it over there, showing trust. And, you know, I think if you were to list all the players, who would you most trust, you know, throwing the ball to? Andrew Corliss comes, you know, down the list behind Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and Davante Adams, probably. But, hey, he gets the job done. He's the hero. He's going to get all the adulation for the next 24 hours or so. And great job by Andrew Corliss to win the football game. Yeah, there's 3 seconds left on the clock, but the Packers run it out on the kickoff. It's the Packers come away with a road victory. It's not easy to do. It was an amazing, amazing game, and for the Packers to improve their record now to 4-2, it is great. They come back home for a home game against the Carolina Panthers now, game which won't be easy by any means, but, they got to be feeling good about themselves after, you know, 3 consecutive victories. And the way that they've done them, that they've been looking good finally, the Packers can feel good about themselves and feel confident that they're going to keep this going. You know, right now, they've at one point, they had double the number of losses as wins after week 3. They were 1-2. Now they've got double the amount of victories as losses at 4-2. You know, this is a team that's gaining confidence and only going to become more sure of themselves and what they can do. I suppose we do got to go over some of the negatives that make you scratch your head a little bit. And if we continue with the offensive side of the football, if there was anywhere that concerns you, it's the offensive line, particularly Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari, struggling from time to time. Of course, Brian Bulaga got beat by Cameron Wake for two sacks early in the first half. I would say this is, you know, I think people were down on Bulaga after two sacks, and rightly so. But basically, the second half of the game, he battled. He battled. He didn't give up any more sacks from there on out. And, I suppose, do you credit that last sack against Brian Bulaga? It did happen after a few seconds. Brian Bulaga has a rough game, but I do think he battled. I don't think you're the type of guy you bench because of that by any means. And David Bakhtiari giving up a sack to Olivier Vernon as well has a little bit of a rough time in the run game over there. But you know what? And there's a very good article over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Go check it out if you haven't already. JSOnline.com by Tom Silverstein, really dissecting what Joe Philbin meant to the Dolphins' defensive game plan. You know, knowing the Packers intimately, you know, basically inside and out, you saw how quickly Wake and Vernon were able to get off the football. And, you know, on Vernon's sack, It was even a question there of, you know, was he offsides? Did he actually, you know, it seemed like he timed the snap awful well. Well, the reason he did is because Joe Philbin coached those guys up on the Packers snap count. You know how often Aaron Rodgers has got players offsides with his cadence. Well, Joe Philbin really coached those guys up all week long, letting them know that Aaron Rodgers is going to try to bait you and how the Packers do their silent calls and things like that, and letting them, you know, basically allowing them to time the snap and really get off the football fast, really fast, you know, faster than you would ever expect any defender to be able to do so. And that was a reason, one of the reasons, the Dolphins got to Aaron Rodgers so often. They sacked him three times, and the official statistics say they had six quarterback hits. Felt like more than that. Felt like more than a half dozen times that Aaron Rodgers was kind of, you know, hit as the ball was released. I don't know. It happened so many times, I was losing count. Felt like more than six. But it's interesting. Go to JS Online, read that article about how Joe Philbin really helped out the Dolphins' defense and was able to, you know, get in Aaron Rodgers' head a little bit that game. But on the defensive side of the football, talk about a first half performance from the Packers' defense that couldn't have been much better. You know, first half, the Dolphins have 87 total yards. Only 10 of them coming on the ground in the first half. Here's the worst run defense in the entire NFL, and the Packers hold them to 10 yards rushing. They hold them to 1 of 6 on third down conversions. On their one trip into the red zone, the Packers deny them. The Packers just dominate time of possession like 2-1 in the first half. And you're like, oh, yeah, this defense has just totally turned the corner, you know, dating back to the Vikings game before that, which was really a good effort. You know, here the Packers defense has come alive. It was really something to behold the first half, and the turnovers. You know, Casey Hayward grabs an interception. Sam Shields grabs an interception. You know, they're taking away the football. That's a big difference in the game. And you know, I should mention the guy who graded out the highest on the defense here. Ha ha, Clinton Dix deserves special mention for this game. Comes up with a team-leading 7 tackles. It was basically a very similar performance to what Morgan Burnett did the week before, when we were all praising Morgan Burnett for how well he played. Kind of the exact same job from Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. It wasn't so much that he led the team in tackles. It was how he made the tackles. Just forceful, just reliable, solid. You knew the guy was coming down. He wasn't going to slip away. You know, frequently making those tackles before the first down marker. Just a really good job. You know, he comes up with a huge 10-yard or so tackle for a loss. Cleans up a play that was really forced by the front 7. I think it was on Lamar Miller, Dolphins running back Lamar Miller, where he probably a little bit foolishly, Miller himself, trying to keep a play alive that he should have just put his nose down and tried to gain the yards that were there. Regardless, Clinton Dix cleans it up for like a 10-yard loss. Then he breaks up this pass intended for Mike Wallace. Just a great game from Clinton Dix all around. Just showing his reliability. You know, hasn't gotten beat deep yet. You know, we're now 6 games into the season, and how often have the Packers gotten beat deep? I'm not sure if they've gotten beat deep for a touchdown yet this season. They've had a few long gains, but the Packers have actually ended up, you know, tackling. You know, I'm trying to remember that game. What was it, the Bears game, I think, or was it the Vikings, where Sam Shields gets beat for about 50 yards or so? But the Packers do tackle him before the end zone. They haven't given up any deep touchdown passes yet this year, hardly. But Clinton Dix having a good game. And you know, the second half of the game is where things fell apart. And a lot of it had to do because of injury. You know, first half of the game, Jamari Lattimore has to come out because of a neck injury, and Brad Jones comes in. And by all means, Jamari Lattimore was not having a good game, although a lot of it had to do with his special teams play. He was the one responsible for the blocked punt on Tim Mastay. Jamari Lattimore, it looked like Jamari Lattimore was more interested in getting down the field than he was sustaining the block. You know, he wanted to go cover instead of, you know, taking care of job number one, which is protection first and then coverage. On top of that, Jamari Lattimore did have a missed tackle on defense right away. But, you know, Brad Jones is just a step below. He's a downgrade from Jamari Lattimore. You know, Brad Jones comes in, and yeah, he did have the nice pass breakup in the end zone. I mean, he didn't do anything other than just, I think it was notable that he was at least in position to make the play. That's tough for an inside linebacker to run down the field on that seam route. Just to simply show the athleticism to run downfield was remarkable. And he did have the nice one tackle there, which he barely made the tackle, but did anyway on the little dump down again, I think, to Lamar Miller. And end up saving what could have been a long play. But there were so many times where Brad Jones was, you know, his run fits. And on the read option, it was particularly evident. You know, Clay Matthews deserves his own, you know, bad day category in how he defended the read option, but didn't get much help from Brad Jones. And Brad Jones, of course, on the Dolphins' final scoring drive of the game, gets hit with that big penalty. The final drive of the game was just horrendous for Brad Jones. For one, he gets the penalty, the illegal hands to the face, and wipes out what should have been a sack.
misses a tackle that ends up in a long gain. On top of that, just a poor game all around. And the Packers really right now kind of hurting at the inside linebacker position. You hope that Jamari Lattimore is going to be able to return soon so Brad Jones doesn't have to play. But on top of that, Sam Barrington has been injured. He didn't play. So you wonder what the Packers are going to do there. On top of Brad Jones and Jamari Lattimore, both Sam Shields and Tremont Williams come out of the game. I think they happen on back-to-back plays. It was really kind of weird how the Sam Shields injury happened, because it happened on a first down before the play even started. All of a sudden, he's hopping on one leg, ends up doing something, I think they said, to his patellar tendon. Several beat writers wrote on the topic. It's not like this was proprietary information. You can go check it out at almost any website that covers the Green Bay Packers. Shields doesn't think it's serious, but, you know, enough to get him out of the game with a knee injury. Tremont Williams comes out with an ankle injury, gets rolled up on a little bit. You're hoping for the best for those guys, but it seemed as if once they came out, you know, all of a sudden the Packers defense collapsed. And you know what? The guys who took their place, Casey Hayward, Devon House, actually did pretty well. But, the Packers didn't have an answer for what the Dolphins were doing. And again, a lot of it had to do with the read option. And Clay Matthews was just absent this game. Here's a guy, a very athletic outside linebacker. You would think that Clay Matthews would be a weapon against the read option. Here's somebody who's going to use his speed, and even if he takes a misstep, you would think that Clay Matthews would be able to recover. But it's his own aggressiveness that's basically working against him. And I don't know if he's got to close a little bit more. It seems like there's so much open space. I'm not sure, but this is becoming a little bit of a trend now, where teams are realizing the Packers are a little vulnerable against the read option. I didn't even know that Miami would do this, that they ran that at all, but they saw something against the Packers, and once it started working, I mean, Ryan Tannehill ran for how many yards did he run for? 40 some yards, 48 yards. It seemed every time they ran it, it worked. And they'd get a first down and run for 10-plus yards. And Clay Matthews didn't add anything to the pass rush. It seemed whatever he tried to do, whether it was a speed rush, whether he was stunting up the middle with some other player, the Dolphins were ready for it. So, yeah, Clay Matthews just a non-factor in this game. Didn't help much at all. The Packers defense collapses a little bit at the end. Thankfully, the offense bails them out. Packers special teams doesn't do very good either. Gave up a few long returns there. Of course, the block punt. The rest is history. But yeah, so still trying to figure out this Packers defense. You know, is it the defense you saw in the first half of the Dolphins game, or is it the defense you saw in the second half that gave up the lead? So we're still trying to figure that out. Hopefully, with a little bit of good luck and health, they get better. So here we are on a Monday, the day after the game, still kind of waiting to hear what the fallout from these injuries is. The word is Sam Shields doesn't think it's a serious injury. Again, he's a little biased, and it's coming from Sam Shields himself, but we'll see. As for the rest of them, don't know how the severity of the Tremont Williams injury. Don't really know the severity of the Jamari Lattimore injury. Those are the only injuries I know of that came out of the game. I wouldn't assume any of them are real serious, but I mean, even if these guys got to miss a week, boy, I mean, all of a sudden, there's still two more games before the bye week here. Packers are going to be playing a little bit of football. Thankfully, they've got some depth. at the cornerback position, thankfully. You know, if there's one position they could kind of sustain an injury and still be okay, I think it's at cornerback, where, like I said, you know, you got Casey Hayward and Devon House stepped in rather well. Casey Hayward with the interception. On top of that, as long as you got Jared Bush playing the slot, I think he'll hold up fine there. You know, I think Jared Bush gets a bad rap, but just remember how well Jared Bush played on defense a year ago. Remember the game against Tony Gonzalez, an NFL Hall of Famer? I think people forget that, how good Jared Bush can be. People forget, heck, his interception in Super Bowl XLV. But I mean, if Micah Hyde has to play the slot, he can do that. The Packers are going to be okay there. They've got Dmitri Goodson on the inactive list, who hasn't been, you know, active yet this year. Could be the first time this upcoming week we see Dmitri Goodson out of necessity more than anything else. You know, but again, we'll see. Let's see how these injuries to Shields and Tremont Williams, how severe they are. And we'll see later in the week whether they're able to come back or not. But there you go, folks. There's breaking down your Packers 27-24 come from behind victory over the Miami Dolphins. Packers now 4-2. And like I said, feeling good about themselves as two more weeks until the bye, as they kind of finish out the second quarter of the NFL season. But we're going to be looking forward to that upcoming game against the Panthers all week long here at Cheesehead TV. We'll be back again on Wednesday and Friday, for that matter, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. No guest today, but we'll be back on Wednesday with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, who joins us every Wednesday during the season on the show. So make sure to join us then. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, on behalf of Alex Talich, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, folks. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. We'll have the latest, including later today on the injury situation. So we'll see you later. I leave you today, folks, with a song called Tinderbox by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.